Susan and I have a friend named Lisa Henry, and Lisa's a friend that we haven't seen in years, but her name regularly comes up in our household. We talk about Lisa a lot, and it's not just because she was such a great friend. Lisa had this skill that we regularly laugh about and we regularly talk about in our house. Lisa had the spiritual gift of being able to find the perfect size Tupperware for any leftovers. Right, seriously, anything. Like, Lisa had this ability where she could pick the perfect size and it would fit in. Now, if you're like me, you end up with one of two problems when you're grabbing Tupperware. Either you grab a piece that is like this big for something this small, or you're like, I figured it out this time, I have the right one, and you go to put it in and you need a second one, right? You have to wash the Tupperware container because the one that you put it in didn't fit all the food, or you waste food and throw it out. But Lisa had this ability to understand the capacity of Tupperware. And really, y'all, it's a miraculous thing. Every single time she nailed it. Every time. And I'm a person who sort of strives to be like Lisa in my life. Like, I want to gain that skill. I want to do it. I simply can't. But I'm also a person who thinks a lot about this concept of capacity. Right? I think as people, we talk about capacity a lot. I was in my life group 2 weeks ago, and in our conversation, we were talking about expanding the circle, which was our conversation a few weeks ago, and everything that came up over and over again was, I'm too busy, right? I'm really too busy to meet new people. I've got my kids. I've got my job. I mean, I was thinking about it. I was thinking, Susan's in grad school right now. She's working full time. I work a lot. Our kids are in like 87 sports. So this concept of capacity is always in my mind. But it's something that's really, really important to me that we think through. How do we expand our capacity? How do we expand our ability to love more when it seems like the hours and the time and the energy that it takes is just too much? See, I don't think this line of I'm too busy lines up with anything that Jesus talks about when it comes to love. I think it is a very comfortable Northern Virginia thing to say. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to spread myself. Jesus was all about increasing our capacity to love. So we've been in this sermon series, if you're new, or if you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, called Reckless Love. And in this sermon series, we're talking about Jesus' command that he gives where he says, love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's my paraphrase of it. But that's what we're talking about. So the first week, we talked about the importance of beginning with love. Every single day waking up and saying, today I'm going to start with love. I don't know about you, but that's something I have to work on. Every morning when I get up, begin with love. And then the next week we said, all right, if you begin with love, then you can start to expand your circle and connect with people maybe who are outside of your circle. And we talked a little bit about what those circles look like. And that was a really, really important conversation for many because a lot of people said that my circle is very, very limited. My sphere is limited, but I don't know how to get relationships with other people. And last week, we talked about God's lavish love. And this week, I want to turn us a little bit to think about how God's love actually expands our capacity. It broadens our love capacity. It makes it greater. And I want to begin this morning by taking us back to 1 John. I didn't say this in the first week, but we're in 1 John for this whole series that we're walking through. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2 this morning, but I want to give you a little bit of background again. This is the church about 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. They're still trying to figure out what's going on. Jesus hasn't come back. They thought he was going to come back. He hasn't come back. And they're starting to argue as the church over these details about Jesus. Was he really the Son of God? Did he really rise from the dead? How do we really worship him? What's supposed to happen? How do we interact with each other? It's not much different than the church today, friends. This is just 50 years later, 50 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. But John wanted them to remember. He wanted them to remember Jesus. He wanted them to remember the purpose of Jesus. So he goes straight to talking about the reckless love that Jesus gave. So I want to take a look this morning at 1 John 2, 7 to 11. It says, beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new commandment, That's true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. Now, I have to admit, when I read this text, I was like, this is really confusing. He starts off and he goes, there's no new commandment, nothing new. But yet, I'm giving you a new commandment, right? It seems like John's got a little confusion going on. I think that what John's doing here is he's trying to connect with his audience. He knows that they can't handle a lot right now. They can't handle any big news. He also knows that they appreciate tradition. That's important to this culture and this context. So he says, hey, it's not a new thing. You've been told as the church to love from the beginning. That's just been a normal thing. It's in your tradition, loving people, loving beyond who you are. That's been in the beginning. But perhaps John believes they've forgotten. So he says, but hey, it's a new thing. Love people. Right? From the beginning, you're supposed to love. But let's try a new thing. Let's try loving people. Let's try shifting our focus. I think it is similar to the church today, right? The basis of the church is love, the very basis of the church. But we have to be constantly reminded, love. Go beyond ourselves, love people. That's a fresh word that John is giving them and us today. Friends, I believe our capacity to love has been marginalized by our ability to live into loving others. I think our circles that we put, these small, tight spaces, actually bring our capacity into shrinking instead of our capacity into growing to love other people. So here's the issue for the early church. Here's what I think that we deal with, and it's our challenge today too. I think we spend most of our time in the zone of comfortable love. Loving people who are comfortable for us to love. And for many of us, that's a very small circle. Right, for many of us, we're comfortable loving, because love is a strong word not many people even use, right? Many of us are very comfortable loving the people that are closest to us, that agree with us, that look like us, talk like us, shop where we shop, eat what we eat. And you know what the challenge with doing the same thing over and over again? I've learned this in exercise. Doing the exact same thing over and over again rarely grows you. It rarely stretches you. And I think what we're trying to do as people is do the exact same thing and hope for a different result. There's a word for that. Insanity. Right? Our capacity to grow is not happening. Our capacity to love is not growing because we're doing the same thing over and over and over again. The reason that Jesus' love was referred to as reckless was that it sent people into uncomfortable places. It sent people into uncomfortable conversations. Watch the disciples. I can't tell you the number of times that they grab Jesus and go, really? No, we're not going there. Right? We're not interacting with her or him or that child or that person. And what would happen if Jesus didn't push the disciples over and over again is their love and their zone would shrink and shrink and shrink. Their capacity would not grow. Their capacity would shrink. Jesus' time with the disciples was about expanding that capacity, stretching the muscles, growing so that they might be able to do it. Friends, as long as we stay in those comfort zones, we are not going to be able to grow. And in fact, in this passage, John suggests that if we do that, we're going to end up in the darkness. Right? That's not an exciting place to be. I mean, look at verses 9 and 10. It says, whoever says, I am in the light while hating a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light. And in such a person, there is no cause for stumbling. Now, you guys might say, Tim, I don't hate anybody. Or you might go, that's a crazy word. I don't think for Jesus the opposite of love was hate. I think for Jesus the opposite of love was not love. Right? It wasn't just hate. I think we let ourselves off the hook with that word hate. We say we don't hate people, so of course we love people. But if we dig into the truth of who we are, that's not the case. We just don't love. And I actually believe that the passage here that's talking about being in the darkness is the same thing, not just hating, but not loving people leads us to the same place. Not loving people puts us in that same place of not being in the light. It's important for us not to let ourselves off the hook. I'm going to say a word this morning that's going to make some of you really uncomfortable. And I'm very comfortable with that. The word is cult. Some of you hear that word and you instantly sort of, right? Put your arms back. Put your shoulders back. Why would he talk about cult? See, the definition of cult is this religious group that essentially sets themselves apart and keeps everybody else at bay. And most of us say, we don't like that word. We don't like hearing about that. I read a story about a young woman who realized that she had grown up in a cult. She was a young woman who moved to the United States. She had grown up in Thailand, but she moved to the United States. She was an American who moved to Thailand with her family and then moved back to the United States in high school. And she didn't realize until she went to public high school and someone gave her this magazine. It was some teen magazine that you take a test to find out if you grew up in a cult. And she took the magazine and she took the test and she said, "Oh my goodness, I grew up in a cult." And then she went on to explain she grew up in Thailand and her family lived in this compound. And it was a compound with a wall around it that had barbed wire around the top. And there were about 30 other people that lived in this compound with them. And they referred to themselves as children of the Lord. And no one was ever able to come in. And if they went out, they were ostracized from their community and their family for the rest of their lives. And friends, we hear stories like that and we go, "Oh, that's crazy." Right? That's a cult. But I wonder if we thought about our lives, if we really, really thought about the walls that we put up, about the barbed wire that we put up around us, about the people that we say are out and can't come in and that we don't engage, I wonder how many of us are living more cultish lives than Jesus lives. And if that's a strong thing this morning, I want to tell you I wrestled with that all week long. How many of us are living these lives that retract our capacity to love because we're inside of walls with barbed wire around them? This sounds incredibly extreme. But friends, if we're only living with people who are comfortable and talk like us and act like us, that's exactly what we're doing. That's the boundary that we're putting up. I don't think it's until we stretch beyond these walls, these comfortable places, that we start to fully step into the life and the light that Christ offers for us. Until we step out and beyond. So what are we to do? How do we respond to this? Jesus' reckless love is love that stretches us. In the book that Tom Berlin writes that many of us are reading, it says, "Get agitated." You should be getting agitated. And we read that word, and a lot of times when I think of agitated, I think of annoyed, right? If somebody agitates me. But Tom uses this definition in the book that at first I kind of went, all right, I don't know where he's coming from. The definition says, to have our lives cleansed of what inhibits God's love from radiating from our lives. And I said, that's a bit of a stretch, right, for the word agitated. Until I thought about, do you have a washing machine? What's in the middle of many washing machines? It's an agitator. Do you know what an agitator does? It knocks all the junk off. Right? It gets the stuff off your clothes. Now, our new washer doesn't have an agitator, so it's a little hard for me to connect. But the agitator knocks the stuff off. It gets the junk off the clothes, and you pull them out, and you're really glad that it's gone through. You're really glad that it happens. And I bet if I were the clothing, I would not enjoy the agitator. I would not enjoy the thing that's beating up against it and pushing it against other things. But friends, we are called to get agitated. We are called to step out of our zones. We have to get agitated so that we can allow the love of God to radiate from us. We have to see our own blindness. John says it in verse 11, "But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go because the darkness has brought on blindness." A few weeks ago, the scripture that I read, the translation said that we cause the light to disappear for other people. Friends, when we put up our boundaries around us, not only does it keep our capacity from growing, it keeps us from offering the light to other people. It blocks it out. It suggests that we're the only ones that should have the light inside, and I believe, unfortunately, what happens is the light begins to get darker and darker in on us as well. We lose the light. You know who's being stretched right now? There's a company that's being stretched. It's Mattel. I don't know if you've been following this, but Mattel, I read in the Washington Post, Barbie's 60 years old. I don't know if you know this. And I understand at 60, a lot of people reinvent themselves, right? So Barbie's 60 and she's reinventing herself, because what Mattel is finding is their Barbie sales are going down because the thin, white, blonde Barbie is just not selling as much in our culture anymore. And the culture has said, we want to expand your line. Now Mattel, Barbie's their deal, right? Barbie's their big deal, their big seller. So Mattel has released Barbies of all shapes, sizes, and colors that are coming out. They have a whole new line coming out. And their goal, Mattel's mission over the next 10 years is that people would forget the Barbie that we know. That people would have a view of a Barbie that represents what I would say all of God's creation. And that kids would be able to get Barbies that remind them of people who they go to school with and they connect with and they build relationships with. Mattel is expanding their line. They're expanding their capacity. Now, some of you would say, well, Tim, society should not dictate what the church does, right? We shouldn't respond. Here's what I want to say. Jesus dictates this. It's like Mattel's behind, right? Jesus started doing this with the disciples 2,000 years ago when he said, come meet this person. And I think part of it was, yes, so that we could value that person that's there, but part of it was so that their capacity could grow. So that when they walked down the street, they would engage people who were different from them. That their capacity would grow and they would love people who were different than them. Y'all, living in the light Jesus calls us to allows our love capacity to grow. I think that's what most of Jesus' time with the disciples was about. Growing their capacity. Knowing that someday they would have to do it on their own. So stretch them. Help them grow. So how do we do that? How do we grow and increase our love capacity? First, I want to encourage you to be intentional. Encourage each of us to be intentional about the ways that we keep people at bay. Be intentional about the people that you're not letting in. Think through who they are. Who have you unfriended on Facebook recently because of their posts? Who are your coworkers that you don't talk to because they annoy you? Who are neighbors that you say will always just wave but will never speak? Then acknowledge the prejudice that exists in your own life. Acknowledge the thing that keeps you from stepping over that line. What are the things that are outside of our cult-like selves? What are the things that we simply say, well, that's not for me. I wouldn't do that. And friends, this isn't so much about the other person today. We'll get to that next week. This is more about us. It's about expanding our own capacity. Think about the last time you were in the grocery store and you saw somebody and decided, I don't need that item, so I'm not going down that aisle. Who did you avoid? Why did you avoid them? Maybe it's somebody who lives in your building that's not so nice. And you said, yeah, I'm not going to talk to them today. Maybe it's somebody who said something impolite to you. So that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Get agitated. Honestly confess the walls that you've built in your own life that help you hold contempt for other people. Maybe this isn't an issue for you about culture or race. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're going, well, culturally I connect with lots of different people and racially I connect across different ethnicities. Maybe for you, it's political affiliation. Maybe for you, you're going, well, if that person likes that person, then they have nothing for me. Then they bring nothing to the table in my conversation. Or maybe it's a social issue. Well, I don't know how they can be a Christian and believe in X. And maybe that's the wall that you're putting up and you're saying, I can't increase my capacity to love with that person. I'll try somebody else. Somebody who agrees with me. And then finally, be reckless. Be active in taking risks to reconcile with other people. Write a letter to somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time. Step out, make a phone call, invite someone to lunch. Push beyond the boundary of comfort. Take one of those stickers, these heart stickers, and put it on something that people can see. Put it somewhere that somebody will look at it and go, well, first of all, you go to church? And second of all, you believe all people should be welcome there? And talk about that. Because it may offer a conversation that you can have with somebody else. It may open up dialogue with somebody that you've never, ever, ever talked to. Because friends, I believe when you do, I believe when you become reckless, when you take on the love that Jesus gave us, I believe it causes our capacity to increase. Read about the disciples from Acts on. Read about what they do and how reckless they become after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read what they do. The evidence is there in their lives that their capacity to grow has been stretched. I want to invite you this morning. You have hearts on your seat. I want to invite you to take the red heart or the pink heart or whatever it is, the one that has no words on it. I want to invite you to not write your name this week, to not write someone else's name. But I want to invite you, if you are willing, to step out, to be a little reckless. I want to invite you to write on that heart this morning, agitated. Just write that word, agitated. And if you come forward or go to the back today to receive communion, there'll be baskets. And if you don't come to receive communion and want to just place one in a basket, you can do that. But if you're willing to get agitated, if you're willing to let yourself be cleansed a little bit, if you're willing this week to maybe take a few minutes of confession to say, God, these are places in my life where I haven't been as open. You know, there used to be this phrase in the United Methodist Church. Shockingly, it doesn't get used as much anymore. It was open hearts, open minds, open doors. And I wonder what would happen if we actually claimed that we were open. And if we got agitated enough to live that out. To live our lives in such a way. Actually, I don't wonder what would happen. I know what would happen. What would happen is that our capacity would grow. Our capacity to love others would grow. We would let go of phrases like, I'm too busy. And we would open up with phrases like, I need to spend time with that person. More for me than for them. So I want to encourage you this morning to think through that. Friends, Jesus came so that your love for God and others might increase. I would hate for me to be so blind that I block the light from somebody else. And I would hate to say so often that I'm so busy that I miss the people that God places right in my midst. So step out this week. I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to step out and see if maybe, just maybe, your capacity grows just a little bit.